This morning's scripture will be from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this morning and our opportunity to come together and learn from your word. We just ask that you would be with Pastor Hunter today as he brings the message and open our hearts and minds to what you would have us to learn. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Good morning. It's so good to hear from the youth team about what God was doing down in Kentucky. I think we should all just give them a hand for what they did. Our passage this morning is Mark 4, 35 through 41, and we continue as we journey through Mark to ask that question of who do you say Jesus is? And as I was working through this passage, I was reminded of my late grandmother, Linda Grant, who we named our daughter after. And she will forever be one of my biggest role models. If you knew this woman, her faith was so clearly pictured through her entire life. She was the president and CEO of our family company. And even though she was serving bridal couples, planning weddings, and decorating a hall every single week, that was her ministry. She was planting seeds, as Nelson shared last week, planting the seeds, watering them. And she wanted every single person in her life to come to know and follow Jesus Christ. But despite that faithfulness and the life that she lived, it was only at age 61 that the Lord brought her home. She had fought breast cancer for over 10 years on and off. It was a hard battle. She ended up in my family's home where she would pass away. And I always, wonder, like, why her? There's some people you can look at and say the storms in their life can make sense, but it never made sense with her. She was my best friend growing up. She loved everybody. And as we, Emma and I joined this church, it was evident that there's always storms going on, no matter how faithful we are. We always find ourselves in something. Grief, loss, financial problems. And I felt like just a month ago we were up here testifying of all the good things that God's been doing here. And since then it was like the enemy was sitting in the front row, just waiting, hearing all the ways that he should attack us, and he has. And in our text this morning, Jesus is with the disciples. He's on the lake of, they're about to cross the Lake of Galilee. And Mark gives no explanation to why. I mean, there's no city on the other side. There's no people on the other side. And they took Jesus just as he was. He wasn't preparing for this trip. And from that context, we could probably take away that Jesus just needed rest. He was exhausted from a long trip. He didn't prepare for it. And it tells us that other boats followed, and all I could take away from that was it was probably like the paparazzi today, following celebrities around, and they don't want it, and they crash out, whatever. But our text this morning, it's not like a Jonah scenario. With Jonah, we knew why he got swallowed by the fish. He ran away from God's plan. He was disobedient. Obviously, there were storms that were going to come. But here, the disciples did everything Jesus asked of them. They took him as he was. They offered him what was probably the only cushion on the boat, which was probably one of the weirdest facts I found studying this text. And they go out in the lake. And these are experienced fishermen. They know what they're doing, and yet they're met with horrendous, life-threatening storms. And it gets so bad to the point where they look at Jesus and they say, "Don't you care if we drown?" And it's not until then that Jesus finally arises from his rest, and he says, "Quiet, be still," to the waves and the wind. And so I was asking myself, what could we possibly take away about facing storms? In other words, as a church body, as a family, how are we supposed to respond when it feels like the enemy was sitting in the front row, slapping us in the face with all of these storms? And I was brought to three things. First off, the storms don't signal Christ's absence. Secondly, storms don't diminish Christ's care. And lastly, storms deepen our revelation of Christ's authority. But let's look at the first one. Storms do not mean that Christ is absent. The disciples were accompanied by Jesus and yet faced life-threatening storms. And as I said, these men were experienced fishermen. They had been on this sea many of times. They knew that at night the storms come. One of them probably owned the boat that they were on. This wasn't like an over-exaggeration. They weren't inexperienced. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, it's raining. They were going to die. They were going to die. And this was most definitely the most terrifying, life-threatening storm that they had ever experienced, and there was no way out. You see, for us, following Jesus is an exemption from the difficulty of life. You know, a lot of the times, you know, we think we're experienced and we're on the boat. But what happens is that our experience gets completely bypassed by the storms of life. You know, having Jesus in our life, it doesn't mean smooth sailing. All it means is that we're going to arrive safely. For us, the perfect storm could be grief, financial crisis, relational breakdowns in our family, moral failures. And just as these expert fishermen felt helpless, it's life storms that bring us to our knees. We can imagine the disciples were frantically trying to bail this water out, doing every protocol they knew, and yet Jesus lied there fast asleep. Jesus knew the storm would come before it came. He knew how the disciples would react. He knew he would be asleep. He knew how he was going to respond. That response of Jesus at the end of the text, where he rebukes the disciples, it felt so harsh. It felt like, obviously, if any of us were in that boat and we felt like we were going to die, we were going to freak out and start screaming at even Jesus because we don't want to die. But yet, it shows us the kind of power that Christ has. Jesus was so confident in who he was, so confident in who his heavenly Father is, that he was able to lie there asleep. He knew that his voice was enough for the wind and the waves to obey. God has complete control, and it's just at the sound of his voice. And it's the storms that we face in this life that draw us back and remind us of who he is. It is only by the presence of Christ that we get through the storm. And it is his providence that reminds us of who he is and that he cares for us. It's not the stillness of the water that shows Christ's presence. Whether the waters are rocky or the winds are pushing us in every direction or the waters are completely still, he's always in the boat with us. And that leads us into our second point. Our storms don't diminish Christ's care. In the midst of the storm, the disciples asked one question. "Teacher, do you care if we drown?" I think it's safe to say that if Jesus could have been surprised at any moment in his life, he probably would have been surprised at this moment. These disciples, they had been following Jesus around. We already know from Mark, they experienced miracles. They watched him heal people, cast out demons. They've watched him do every little thing that could possibly prove that he was the Son of God. And yet they sit here in another moment and ask, do you care if we drown? If anyone in that boat should have been calm, it should have been them. And yet, faced with the potential reality of death, they sat there forgetting everything they knew about Jesus. And if we're being honest, we probably would do the same thing. We probably would respond with frantically bailing water out of the boat, yelling at Jesus, asking if he cares about us. It's so easy for us to lose sight of who Jesus really is. And quickly, we take matters into our own hands. And until we know it, we can't get ourselves out. And we don't run to Jesus until it's the last thing that we're left with. I say these storms don't diminish Christ's care for us because Jesus had every right to be offended by the disciples. He could have saved himself. He could have left them in the boat with their worry and their doubt. They clearly show they didn't comprehend who Jesus was, that their faith was weak. And yet Jesus got up from his long-awaited and deserved rest, and he calmed the sea before saying anything to the disciples. He immediately showed them again who he was. He removed the storm, and he sat with them, and he continued to disciple them. He asked, why are you so afraid? Why do you still not have any faith? He continued to walk with them and teach them, even when they repeatedly doubted him, even when they repeatedly questioned his authority, because that's the care of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can fail him a million times. We can cry out to him in lamentations and in agony and pain and ask, God, do you even care if we drown? And yet it's his perfect love that continues to pursue us. And in that perfect love, those storms ultimately deepen our revelation of Christ's authority. After Jesus had calmed the storm, the disciples were terrified. The disciples looked at each other and asked, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. But it's that question that made Jesus realize the disciples did not know who he truly was. They revealed in their hearts when they said, who even is this? That they did not fully understand the power and the authority that Jesus carried. It's the storms in our lives and the witness of how God miraculously works in them that leave us terrified. They leave us amazed, astonished at who Jesus really is. It's those moments when we see God calm the wind and the waves in our lives that we're drawn into deeper revelation of who he is. The disciples saw many things bow to the authority of Jesus. But in this moment, it was the elements of the earth. It's just another account of where the disciples were drawn into deeper revelation of who Jesus is and who they say he is. Last Sunday, I got talking to Charlie, and I asked him, you know, what did you see God do on the missions trip? And they all came up here, and we were talking about the rain. But what Charlie shared with me was, as they were trying to do that painting project, the rain was just washing this paint off, and they had to step away. And he said, it was like God just miraculously worked, and he just stopped the rain. And they had like this 30-minute window. I hope I'm getting this all right. They had this 30-minute window where they were able to paint the whole thing, get it done, and the paint was able to set. And it's moments like that where we stand back in awe of what Jesus can do, because we can't stop the rain. We can't stop the wind. We can't stop the flooding of the boat. But when we step back and we point our eyes back to Christ, it's his power that leaves us in awe. And it's his power that draws us into a deeper understanding of who he really is. So in our storms, are we able to say that Jesus is and has the power over all creation? Is Jesus the one we look to when the furious squalls of life arise? I think there's two ways I saw this text show us how we should respond to these storms. The first one is we must shift our focus. And secondly, we must surrender to Christ. Similar to Peter walking on water out to Jesus, if you know that account, same thing. Disciples were on the boat and Jesus walked out to them. A man walking on water, and Peter decides to get out of the boat and walk to him. But it was when Peter took his eyes off of Christ that he began to sink in the water. And it was the same account here, where it was when the disciples took their eyes off of Jesus that the storms began to overcome them. We can focus on the loss. We can focus on our personal storms. We can focus on the uneasiness around the world as wars and rumors of wars continue to arise. But all it does is continue to make us believe that it's the calmness of the water that shows Christ's presence. But we know by the text, when Peter stepped out in that boat, when the disciples were in the storm, it doesn't matter what the water looks like. It doesn't matter how strong the wind is. Christ is always present. And we must recognize that the storms of our lives do not mean that Christ has abandoned us. Jesus is sitting in our boat. Even when the storms feel like they're the only things present, even when they feel like they're overcoming us, it is Christ who is in the boat. And for us, we have to turn our eyes to him. It wasn't until the disciples looked at that man fast asleep and cried out to him that their storm was brought to calmness, because it was nothing that they could do. We have to turn our eyes back to him. And secondly, we have to surrender to Christ. Jesus was able to rest in the midst of the storm because he was confident in the power of the Heavenly Father. And he was confident in the power that he carried. I think, like the disciples, it's easy for us to get impatient with the Lord. We murmur things like, "Jesus, can you just take care of this already?" And the disciples, as they asked, and maybe we've been asking ourselves, "Jesus, are you okay if I drown?" It's in these moments we lose sight of who Christ really is. Maybe like the disciples, we were never sure of who Christ really was in the first place. Our Lord is in control. And when storms arise, it's not about what we can do, it's about what he can do. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, "Cast all anxieties unto him, for he cares for you." And that's what I'm calling all of us to do, to cast our anxieties onto him because he cares for us. I'm not sure how long ago it was, Margo, that you and one of your friends started meeting for prayer, but it's grown into this whole group on Thursday mornings at 9 that meet in the basement, and it is a war room for our family. It is a war room for our loved ones and for those around us. We pray for one another. We pray for our family, our church family. And I just invite you, if Thursday mornings at 9 is open, come. Because that's where we fight our battles. That's where we shift our focus and realize the storm's not going to cease on our own demand. It ceases on his. My grandma, Linda, she had her focus shifted, and she gave up control over her storm. Despite the breast cancer and all the battles that she went through with the business, her main concern was seeing people know and follow Jesus. Whether it was friends, families, bridal couples, strangers, you knew that she was going to bring Jesus up. She always reflected and talked about the love that Jesus had for her and for others. When she knew her time here was coming to a close, she bought all of her grandchildren Bibles, and she wrote on the front cover a letter to each of us. And shortly after she passed, I was a teenager, and I had moved into my parents' basement, because that's what teenagers like to do. They like to get away from their parents. Well, shortly after that, our basement completely flooded. It was like 5 feet of water. It was terrible. My mom woke me up, and the basement already had a few inches of water under me. But one of the things, everything was ruined, but one of the things that survived was that letter. I mean, the whole Bible was soaked, but that letter was in perfect condition. And I keep it framed because it's a reminder to me of where my focus needs to be. It's a reminder to me of how I need to live my life and how I need to handle my storms. And I hope it's a reminder to all of us that we should live our lives with our focus shifted back to Him. And we should surrender control because we have no control. It's only by His voice and His command that the waves and the wind obey. So we're left asking ourselves, is that who we really say Jesus is? When the storms arise, do we look to the one whom the wind and waves obey? Because that is who Jesus is. He is the one whom the wind and the waves obey. The only one whom we must look to when our storms arise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are present, that you are actively pursuing us and in the boat with us. We know that storms arise and storms go, but Lord, it is not by our hand that these storms come and go. It is by your voice, your command, that the wind and the waves obey. When it feels like life is crashing down and we feel like we have nowhere to go, we know we can look to you. So we praise you, Lord. Praise you that you literally showed us by your physical presence in a physical storm your power. But Lord, we continue to see it every single day as you calm our storms, as we go through grief and loss of our brother Bill, Lord. As we have personal storms and church storms, or whether it's finances or relational loss or moral failures, God, we know that you are present. We know that your hand is working, and we can rely on it. So we praise you. Pray, God, will we be reminded that it is on our knees that we fight these battles. Encourage us, Lord, to go to the war room, to be eagerly seeking your presence and your face as we get on our hands and knees and lay our storms before you. Be with us this week. Keep us safe, Lord. Remind us of your presence, even in our darkest moments. We thank you for what your Son Jesus Christ did for us, the death that he brutally suffered on the cross, and what it means for our salvation. Should we never question the love and care that he has for us, knowing what he gave up, the brutality that he faced, and the resurrection that came shortly after, all out of love for us and care for us. Shift our focus, work in our hearts, Lord. And we just ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Worship team, you're invited to come back up. May we all stand for worship.